All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Neil Armstrong reporting the roll and pitch program, which puts Apollo 11 on proper heading.
Active FM, this is The Void Show. What's happening? I'm so excited, and I should really do say that I've been so excited, and I'm really looking forward to today's episode, right? I'm hoping you are, and you know, I'm hoping you can't really wait to learn new stuff today. I cannot wait to learn new stuff today, right? Remember that learning is like an exercise to your mind, right? It's like an exercise to your memory, right? Because the more you learn stuff, that's the more your mind broadens, okay? That's the more your memory expands, right? You should know this. I mean, it's like when you want to get that extra 2-pack, right? When you want to be fit, you should do a physical exercise, right? So it's pretty much the same thing. If you want to broaden your mind, if you want to expand your knowledge, if you want to feed your curiosity, right? If you want some of your profound questions about the natural world to be answered, you should be willing to learn, right? So big ups to you for choosing The Void Show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome to the show. My name is Andrew, and I'm so excited to be your show host for today, right? And you surely have seen what we're speaking about today. We are speaking about the periodic table, right? The periodic table. And, you know, almost everybody knows what a periodic table is, okay? I'd want to assume that. And if I'm wrong, and yeah, I mean, I could be wrong, most certainly, right? I could be wrong. And if you have no idea what a periodic table is, I mean, calm down, chill, relax, right? You don't have to worry because we're going to figure it out, right? We're going to figure it out today. We're going to maybe answer what is a periodic table, why is it there, right? And maybe what, and if you have no idea what it looks like, I mean, just go on Google, check it out. Periodic table, what is it? You'll kind of get that picture of what it looks like, okay? But today we're going to reveal why it looks like that and maybe go way back in time, right? Just have a bit of a journey, some sort of a journey way back in time, right? To the history of the periodic table. I mean, why is it there? Why is it like that? Okay. And I should do say that it's one of the most popular symbols in the field of science, right? If you do not find it hanging around, you know, maybe in a wall or in a science classroom, if you don't find it like that, it most probably is in someone's bag, right? Maybe in a textbook or something, right? I mean, and that's okay. That's okay, right? But you see, you do not have to be a scientist to understand the periodic table, right? And I'm going to take you to this. There's a very famous and a popular astrophysicist, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I love what he said. He said, the cosmic perspective comes from the frontiers of science, yet not solely the provenance of the scientist. It belongs to everyone. I mean, I know I stumbled a bit. Okay, let me just try again. The cosmic perspective comes from the frontiers of science, yet it is not solely the provenance of a scientist. It belongs to everyone, right? And I love what he said. I mean, you see, and I should, let me just add something there. Even though the cosmic perspective could depend on the provenance of a scientist, it belongs to everyone, okay? It really belongs to everyone. You do not have to be a scientist to understand the natural world, to have the cosmic perspective, right? Or to have a perspective about the universe. You really do not have to be a scientist. And what does that mean? It means you do not have to have a college degree to contribute, right, in the natural world, to have a perception, to have a perspective about the universe, okay? As much as you do not have to have a college degree to be successful or to be wealthy, right, or to be rich, you don't have to be a scientist to understand, right, the real life, like the physical phenomena, what's happening all around us, okay? So big ups to you for actually tuning in. I mean, I do see that you wanting to take a step in learning new stuff, right? So thank you so much for tuning in. We're speaking about the periodic table today, and right after this, we will be beginning our quest to answer some of your deepest questions about chemistry. Stay tuned. So, the time is now, and now is the time, right? Okay, so do you have any question about the periodic table? Have you got no idea what a periodic table is? Or maybe you have some sort of a special element you want to add on the periodic table? Maybe you think that scientists are probably paid again to lie to us about the periodic table, eh? I mean, I'm looking for all those questions and comments, right? Should we have any of those? Send them right through on our WhatsApp line, +27845051166. Otherwise, you can find the code to that WhatsApp number line on our Instagram account, right? It's at ActiveFM777, or you can just send it to our Instagram account, right? That's okay. So, yeah, let's just get right on it. So, we're speaking about the periodic table, right? And maybe to start off with this interesting fact. I don't know if it's a fact or what, but there are some people who predict that if... Okay, we are assuming here, right? So let us assume that there is some intelligent life form in the universe, right? Or maybe a civilization, something like that. If you're going to go with that assumption, there are some people that predict that the periodic table will be or is the only common document we all have, right, with that intelligent life form. That means, let's assume that there are some... aliens in Pluto, okay? We are assuming that. If that's true, the periodic table should be, or it is predicted that it should be the only document we have in common with that kind of civilization or that kind of a life form, right? And I understand why they're saying that, because you see, what is a periodic table? That's a table, right, of a list of elements, okay? And this is not just a table, okay? It's not just a table. It's more than just a simple list, because it's a powerful tool, okay, that's used to understand the elements as well. If you look at it, it is arranged in a certain way, right? It has rows and it has columns, okay? There are elements that are arranged in a column, and elements that are in the same column, they belong to the same family, okay? They belong to the same group. And elements that are in the same row, they are arranged in such a way that of their increasing or, you know, according to their differences in their properties, okay? So it's not just a table, right? Didn't just pull that out of our minds, okay? So I wanted to answer this question of why there are some people that assume that the periodic table should be the only one document we all have in common with any other life form. You see, that's because these elements, they are literally everything and anything. Okay? What do we mean by that? We mean they make up all known substances. You got that? It does not matter if it's human-made or if it's, you know, naturally occurring elements in the periodic table make up all known substances, your stars, your in the universe, you know, your galaxies, your Earth, everything, the phone you're listening with this with, you know, the microphone, whatever, right? They literally make up all known substances, okay? But what are these elements? Why do we call them elements? That's because they are like the basic core. You get me? Okay, let's make an example with this, right? A woman is pregnant, okay? When a woman gets pregnant, we know that a cell is the basic unit of life, okay? So a child starts off as a cell, right, which is a basic unit of life, okay? That's a basic unit of life, which means that's where life starts. It's like that. You cannot break a cell into any simpler branches, right? You can't literally break down a cell to any... that's our standard point of life, okay? You literally cannot break cell and say that, okay, right? It's not like that. We say it's a cell. It's a standard basic unit of life, okay? So elements are like that. They are you cannot break them into simpler substances, right? That's why we call them elements. That's because you literally cannot break them, right? They are like that, right? They are pure chemicals that you cannot literally separate into simpler substances or into smaller substances, okay? So that's how it is. And why do we have a periodic table? That's so imagine if a scientist had to memorize all those elements, right? Imagine that. It seems like a stretch. It's a stretch, right? It's not necessary, but then it's you'd have to, right? They do not have to do that, right? They do not have to memorize all the properties of all known elements. But instead, they can just look at the periodic table quickly, right? To see maybe if I'm dealing with this kind of an element, you know, it's having this kind of properties, it belongs to this, you know. So it's easy to understand things looking at the periodic table, right? You kind of like get a grip quickly of what's happening. So let's speak a little bit about the history of the periodic table, okay? Plus, I've got some amazing gems today in studio, so you really don't want to go anywhere. So a bit of history, right? Right. So you see, the periodic table, maybe its birth, right? If that makes sense, I think it does. Its roots, okay, can literally be traced back all the way to, like, you know, over the past 200 years, okay? And the highlight, I would call it like that, or, you know, the time when a lot of things were happening, right? The time where there was a lot of energy, right? The highlight was most probably in the 1800s, okay? That was a very exciting time in chemistry, right? It was really an exciting time because that's the time when more and more elements began, or maybe were being discovered. Okay, every year around those times, you know, scientists were, you know, kept discovering more and more elements, okay? And obviously, as these elements were being discovered, their properties were being noted as well, right? And what do we mean by that? By saying, you know, properties being learned, being noted, we need to check if do they react with water, right? Do they conduct electricity? You know, are they hard? Are they wet? Are they dull? Are they crumbly? Are they shiny? Okay, so those were some of the properties that were checked with these elements as they were being discovered, right? That's what should literally happen, right? It's what literally happens in the scientific world, right? It's like testing, okay? There's testing of hypotheses in the scientific world, okay? So as time went by, chemists, they saw that, or maybe let me say, as the understanding of these elements grew, right, as they kept finding these more elements, there was a trace that they saw. There was kind of like a behavior that they saw between these elements. And this is what they saw. They saw that most of these elements share similar traits. Okay? They like share similar traits. Right? So, I mean, you could guess this. I mean, you can guess this. If we see that there's a pattern that's happening around things, we should probably try to organize what we have in a much more meaningful way, right? So that's what scientists did. They began to, you know, trying to organize these elements in a more meaningful way, right? And that's where the name periodic comes from, right? It's called the periodic table. Why? Maybe there's something that's repeating themselves, right? Maybe there's just something that's repeating themselves. And, you know, one of the very first scientists to notice this repeating term, you know, or this periodicity of these elements was an English chemist, right? His name is John Newlands, okay? And remember, this is all happening in the 1800s, okay? So it was a very interesting time of those times, right? So what do we mean by repeating themselves? Remember, at the beginning of the show, I said that it's not just a table, okay? But it's a table that's arranged in a beautiful way, right? It's a powerful tool. It's columns and rows, okay? Columns, every element in the same column, they belong to the same family, okay? So it all began there, right? It all began there, right? So 10 minutes into the show, we probably need a song. And so for today, I've got a special song for you, our own very music, okay, from Active FM. And this one is by Active Worship, Inception album, saying to you, Warzone. And right after this song, we will be diving more deep into the periodic table. So stay tuned. Warzone. Enjoy.
I have joy.
And I hope you enjoyed that jam, Inception album, Active Worship, saying to you, Warzone, playing on radio that is Active FM. And of course, it's a radio station, but it's Active. Welcome back to the show. This is The Void Show. I am Andrew, and I am your show host. We're speaking about the periodic table, okay? And if you've just scrolled to this point, you might want to go back a little bit to hear more about what we spoke about, okay? We spoke a little bit of history behind periodic table, okay? Everything starts somewhere, so even the periodic table started somewhere. And actually, now, I've got an interesting story that I want to share with you, okay? Now, remember, so this is what happened, okay? This all happens in the 1800s, and, you know, more elements have been discovered, okay? More elements have been discovered. And so it's the understanding of these elements grow, you know, the body of, you know, the body of understanding of these elements, it grows, right? We recognize that there's a pattern that happens here, okay? And the very first pattern, wow, I cannot speak now. The very first person to notice that there's some sort of a behavior that happening, you know, as we keep discovering these elements, it's some sort of behavior, right? Some sort of a trace that I see. The very first person to notice that, repeating pattern, you know, to notice that periodic, that's why it's called periodic table, was the English chemist, okay? His name is John Newlands, okay? So here's a very great story. Here's a very great story that might motivate you, right? Might motivate some, right? And I'm hoping it will motivate you. So, John Newlands, right, an English chemist, in 1864, he noticed that, okay, there's some sort of a behavior that I see, okay, that I recognize between these elements, okay. So this is what he did. He made a list, right, of all these known elements, right, in an order of increasing atomic mass, okay. So every element has a property that we call atomic mass, okay. And what is that? That means it's like finding a way to calculate how much element weighs in comparison to another one, okay? So it's kind of like I'm taking a mass and I'm finding just a way to measure your mass in comparison to somebody's mass. It's pretty much like that, okay? So he then took all these known elements by that time, and he listed them, okay, to in ascending order of atomic mass, okay? Guess what he found? He noticed that there's a pattern, okay? So this is what he noticed, that each element, it showed similar properties, okay? It had like similar properties. It kind of like corresponded in some weird way to elements that are in a certain group, okay? And it goes much more in depth, right? It really goes much more in depth, and I don't want to get to that, but I just want to speak of, you know, the overall surface area of what's happening, okay? So he noticed that, no, these elements are related in some way, okay? And so then Newlands called that, what he saw, he called it law of octaves, okay? He called it law of octaves. But guess what? Guess what? That law that he came up with, I mean, he didn't came up with it. He didn't just come up with it, right? He said this is the law based on what he has seen, okay? He came up with that law, and guess what? It was not well received, right? It was not well received. A lot of chemists ridiculed Newlands, right? They ridiculed him. That's what happened. They ridiculed him. And this is actually, some of this happened in the meetings, right, that they had, right, that they had. They just ridiculed him, right? They were like, did you try to list all these elements in an alphabetical order? I mean, because surely, in alphabetical order, all of these elements would, you know, have some sort of a coincidental pattern, Did you try to do that? I mean, can you imagine that? Did you try to do that? But obviously it was not him naming these elements in alphabetical order, right? He named it according to an increasing atomic mass, right? Like, no, man. Did you try to maybe do this? Now we know that Newland's critics were wrong, okay? But this is what happened. Not Newton. Did I keep saying Newton? His name is Newlands, right? This is what happened. Newlands actually stumbled onto something that's very, very, very important. Right? He really stumbled on something that's very, very important. And that was only seen years after that. Because you see that later, 1869, yeah, about 1869, there was a Russian scientist. Okay, it was actually a chemist as well, a chemistry professor, yeah, a Russian chemistry professor. So he did the same thing, you know, he tried to do that, but he did it in a different way, okay, from the one that Newlands did. And the result of him was that these elements actually, they arranged themselves into groups. Okay, and he obviously tried to overwrite them, those elements, right? Actually, the result is that each vertical column, right, contained those elements with the same kind of properties, okay? For example, if you go in a periodic table, the first column, hydrogen, lithium, you know, sodium, potassium, rubidium, cesium, right? I forgot the other one. those elements, they react strongly with water. Okay? They react strongly with water. And as you go down, the reaction gets much more stronger. Okay? So those were just kind of behavioral things that were seen there. Right? Right. Yeah, I mean, and They were only proven to be right years after that, right? Right. They were only proven to be right, okay, years after they had predicted those elements, right? And obviously, you know, as time went by, there were some scientists that now got into the picture. You know, they published very similar periodic tables, right? That's about the same time as the Russian scientists. They did that, even though some were not so accurate, but you know, some of them never came into broad use. People did not really use them. But then, you know, this Russian scientist and Newlands, they really did a lot into starting all this, right? And more elements kept being discovered, and by the mid-20th century, it had been assumed that, it had not been assumed, but what I'm trying to say is that by the 20th century, we had known the basic, right, of what we know today, right? So yeah, that's pretty much it. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I really did.
What is Exabortion?
Hello, ActiveFM. My name is Riabetsu Melau, and I am part of Active Worship. Active Worship is a group of kingdom builders who use their instruments and vocals as another means to glorify God, and have recorded thus far 12 great albums. And I am so privileged and honored to be part of the team. I get to sing backup, I write songs and lead worship, and it's just been an overall blessing to me. So yeah, I'm very grateful for Active Worship. The beginning.
Well, I think it's time for you to go ahead and listen.
Great, so apparently we have reached the end of the Void show today. Please do get in touch with us. We are there on WhatsApp, +27845051166, +27845051166. 1166. Otherwise, you can get the code to that WhatsApp number line on our Instagram account at ActiveFM777, Facebook @ActiveFM777, Twitter @ActiveFM, right? And we have our amazing website, right? If you want a safe platform to get all the shows we have on ActiveFM, activefm.co.za. We are there on iTunes, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Gap, Parler, Reddit, and we've got some other shows as well. So please also go on our Facebook special, The Void Show page, at The Void Show with Andrew. There's a poll there for the best show of 2020. So I guess you want to listen. I mean, I guess you want to vote for us, right? So you want to just go there and vote for, like, The Void Show. It's only less than 5 seconds. So please just go there and vote for The Void Show, right? So I'm excited for the next upcoming weeks because we've got some crazy topics to speak. Right, to speak about, right? Albert Einstein, you know, the nature of electricity. There's just a lot. I mean, the Star of Bethlehem, that's what we're going to be speaking about in Christmas. So there's pretty much a whole little bunch of interesting topics that we're going to share. So you want to stay tuned. As for me, myself, and I, all the love. I hope you have a fantastic week ahead of you. I'll see you next time, same place. Cheers.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.